Well, as we come to the word, let us again pray together. Gracious and holy Father, as we come, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be pleased to draw near us and instruct us in your truth, for we are totally and utterly dependent upon him to bring this word as the way you intended. Father, grant us humble and contrite hearts before your scripture, that we might seek to be people of the book. Glorify your name in our midst, we ask, for Christ's sake. Amen. If you knew you only had a few weeks to live, what would you say to those who are closest to you? What would be your final communication to your child or to your mum and dad or to a close friend or to a co-worker or someone that you were training up to take over your ministry and work? What would you say? Paul wrote this letter of 2 Timothy to his child in the faith because he considered that while he sat in the prison in Rome, there were difficult times ahead. He considered that his time had come to an end, that he was about to die. And while Timothy was ministering in Ephesus, Paul wants to write to him to encourage him in that ministry, knowing that while Emperor Nero is still on the throne, that Paul's life is about to end. We're talking about a period around 65, 66 AD. And Paul encourages Timothy in this letter to endurance and perseverance for the gospel in the face of the times that are so challenging. And in this particular exhortation of chapter 2, I want to focus particularly on verses 8 and 9, because in it, I believe, Paul gives us the key message of his gospel. And it hinges around this command to remember. And it is a command. But it's a command that he says will have present and active relevance. It is something which we are to do regularly and consistently. And we are to remember Jesus Christ, his resurrection and his ancestry, as Paul preached it in his gospel. It's a gospel for which he is prepared to suffer and die. So as we consider this command to remember, I want to consider it under the headings of who, what, why, and how, because this command and our response to it is to affect our whole being. This call to Timothy is present and active, a practical remembering. It was for him, and it is for us. It should affect our head, our heart, and our hands. It should affect our head in what we think about and how we think about it, what we know. It should affect our hearts, what we value, what motivates us. And it should affect our hands as to what we do in response to what we know and what motivates us. So questions of who and what will relate to our thinking, our head, our knowledge. Questions of why relate to our motives and our values. What we hold to relates to our heart. And questions of how relate to our response to what we know and to what motivates us and what values we have. The how relates to our hands, what we do about it. So I just want to briefly go through each of these and seek to bring it to our attention on the basis of 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8. The first thing he says is, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Who should we remember? Paul focuses Timothy on remembering not Paul himself, but on Jesus Christ, the one who is the Savior, the one who is the anointed one of God. It's not a matter of remembering a philosophy or a theology. It's a matter of remembering a person. So what should we remember about this person? Well, the first thing you'll notice is remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. This is about the completion of Jesus' work on earth and points to a future hope. The resurrection had become the focus of Paul's ministry. He implies that this is critical. Without it, we are people most to be pitied, he says in his exposition in 1 Corinthians 15. The centrality of the resurrection to Paul's ministry is so important that he would say in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In fact, all of Paul's sermons in Acts come to the conclusion about resurrection and pivot off that point. And virtually all of Paul's 13 letters, as we have in the New Testament, focus also on the resurrection. So why is it important? Well, because it shows us that Christ's sacrificial work is complete and it is perfect. It has satisfied a broken law. The righteous anger of God, the holy God, against that broken law has been fully and completely satisfied. Consequentially, Jesus has achieved victory over sin and death, and God has exalted him to his right hand. So why is it important? Well, Michael Williams says this: the basis of informed Christian action is a vision of its future. And that future can be stated in one word: resurrection. So I believe Paul here is calling Timothy to focus on this issue first: the person of Christ raised from the dead, because whatever future action Timothy is involved in has to pivot around this vision of the future that Christ has been raised and we will be raised with him. But he's not only to remember the resurrection and the completed work of Christ, that sacrificial work in payment for our sin and rebellion. He's also to remember that Jesus Christ is the offspring of David. He is the king in the line of David. This has to do with his humanity and his kingship. It shows Jesus' true humanity, and it shows that he is the promised eternal king, the greater son of David. God has kept his word of 2 Samuel 7 and that covenant with David. And from this word to David, we get the teaching about the Messiah, the anointed one of God. Jesus is this one. So Timothy is to remember the person of Christ, and he's to remember the work of Christ. And these core issues point to the faithfulness of God, as we see in our reading in verse 13. That God is forever faithful to his word. Timothy is encouraged to think about these things carefully, and we are also. So why should we remember it? If those are the things we are to remember, and we've just touched on them briefly, if we are to remember a risen Christ who is the eternal promised king, the greater son of David, then why are we to remember it? Well, here's the heart issue. What motivates us? You'll notice in verse 1 of chapter 2, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In order to persevere in his faith and in his ministry, Paul encourages Timothy to preach the gospel to himself every day. He wants him to be strengthened in the grace of God. The grace that God has displayed in the person and work of Christ. Paul doesn't want Timothy being overwhelmed or discouraged by the issues which Paul believes is going to arise directly in Timothy's ministry. He's keen for Timothy to remember the core issues of the faith as the basis of his informed Christian action. He's to remember it for the sake of others. Look at verse 2. Entrust this to faithful men. Entrust this core message to faithful men for their welfare. And as you do it, verse 3, notice that you may well have to share in the suffering that comes with sharing this message. Paul wants Timothy to be very much aware of the life that he is living, the faith that he is believing, and the ministry that he is called to. But why remember? Why make this a focused activity? Well, because the cares and the concerns of this life can choke the word. We get sidetracked. We get focused on aspects of our lives, so focused that we can forget our relationship with Jesus Christ. We get distracted, sometimes by good and necessary things. But we have to come back and actively remember the core issues of the faith, the relationship with Jesus. Otherwise, we lose the intimacy of that relationship in the midst of life's struggles and challenges and sufferings and pains. Paul was well aware that Timothy was going to have to go through some of these things, but he wanted him to be focused and to remember. So if that is to be our motivation, how should we remember? How can we respond? Well, the Lord instituted his supper, and he reminded his disciples that they are to participate in this supper regularly, and they are to do it in remembrance of him. Specifically, he says, do this in remembrance of me. We have been given this sacrament in order that we might understand what it is to be strengthened by the grace of what God has given. The focus of the supper, of course, is on his death on the cross for sins, that Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin. But his mere death would be meaningless if it wasn't for the resurrection. But someone has to die before they can be raised. Clearly, verse 8 says, risen from the dead. So we focus on the supper, on the effects of his death, but are always mindful of the outcome of his resurrection. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he testified that this death was totally sufficient for the salvation of his people. So I suggest, how do we respond? We regularly participate in the Lord's Supper. And we take that opportunity specifically to remember him, because by it, we are strengthened in this grace. A second thing we can do is mutual exhortation, to remind one another of these things, because we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we seek to encourage one another as we meet together, as you meet together today for the picnic, as you meet for home groups, as you meet for prayer meeting. Encourage one another in these things. It's important that we continue to do this in our various means as we have opportunity. And finally, I suggest the way to remember is to preach the gospel to yourself every day, because we need it. We know we fall short of God's glory. We know we sin against other people, and other people sin against us. And we must seek the Lord's forgiveness for these things. Yet in Christ, we are loved and forgiven, and our identity and worth is found in him, because we are, as believers, adopted into God's family. So we're called to remember him. We're called to reflect him in the life that we lead. We're called to image Christ before the world, to show gospel grace to others as he has shown it to us. So the exhortation for today is the same that Paul gave to Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in the gospel. Amen and amen.